Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 33. We have the words on screen, but if you'd like to have it in your hands, if you'd like to be able to put your finger on it and follow along, you're welcome to open up your own Bible that you brought with you. You're also welcome to grab one of the pew Bibles in front of you. And if you have one of those pew Bibles in front of you, that number in our bulletin, it's page 1533. And for those of you that are here this morning, and for those of you that are tuning in online, or others that are going to be listening on the radio later on, I want to make sure that you know that you are invited to come out to celebrate Waupun next Sunday, 11:30, at the Big Tent. We will have a community worship service. I will be preaching at that service, and it's going to be a different sermon than the one we're going to have at 9 o'clock here. So it's like a two-for-one, right? So come out for both of those. If you do come out to the tent for Celebrate Waupun, make sure to bring a chair, unless you like to stand, which some people do. All right. Let's pray, and then we're going to have the reading of God's Word, Matthew 21. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation and your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book. Lord, we look to the pages of the Old Testament and we know that all of the prophecies and everything in it points ahead to your son Jesus. And we know that the New Testament not only describes your son Jesus' ministry here on earth, but also his church with the apostles. Lord, we thank you for giving us this word so that we know the author of life, so that we know your son, Jesus. Guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today, we made some promises. The parents made some promises. Family and congregation made some promises. Jesus has something to say about promises, and it's here in the parable of the two sons. Starting in verse 28, it says, or Jesus says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. So here in this passage, Jesus is at the temple in Jerusalem. And he is addressing the elders and the chief priests. The elders and the chief priests. Jesus starts off this section by asking, "What do you think? What do you think?" When I was in high school, I was not a great student. But I did have one awesome, great teacher. His name was Mr. O'Brien. He was the drafting instructor. And he really did a great job with me. He let me learn on my own. He would provide for me the different tools that I needed to do my work, but he would let me figure it out. He would give me the time and the space so that I could get my projects done for school. And he was such an awesome teacher, and he saw something in me. He actually ended up helping me get hired at a local company. Throughout my entire senior year, I worked for a company as a draftsman. I would go there every afternoon, so I'd go to school in the morning, and then I'd go to my drafting job in the afternoon, and would work in an office. I had a 386? That was a really old computer, and really slow. I had a 386 Microsoft computer. I had CAD on there, and I would do my drafting. I would do some hand drawing and that kind of thing, too. I'd run off a lot of giant copies. Then, that summer before I went to college, I got to work there 40 hours a week. All of this was thanks to Mr. O'Brien. He saw something in me, and he gave me the tools that I needed so that I could learn and grow and prepare me for the next step in my journey. And here, Jesus asks, what do you think? And we recognize that Jesus is a good teacher. He is the good teacher. And Jesus, when we dive into Jesus, he makes us think. And that's what he's doing here for the elders and for the chief priests. He's making them think. Because they were trying to trick Jesus. That was their intention. They wanted to trick Jesus, and they wanted to question him about his authority. But Jesus, he just doesn't lay into him. Instead, he works to make them think. Jesus turns the conversation around and says, basically, hey, you guys know so much? Answer this parable. Answer this parable. Think for yourself here. There was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first son and said, son, go and work in the vineyard. Son, go and work in the vineyard. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my folks would ask me to do things. Barry, go take out the garbage. Barry, come and help with the dishes. Barry, come and do your chores. Barry, come and help me out. How did I answer my folks when I was in middle school and high school? How did you answer your folks when you were asked to do something? Or maybe right now you could apply this to your job. How do you answer the boss? How do you answer the boss at home? I suppose we could go there too, right? How do you answer when you're asked to do something? Well, that first son, this is what he says in verse 29. When asked to go and work in his father's vineyard, the son says, I will not. I will not. Well, I can admit this was me. Not just sometimes, but a lot of the times. And you know what? Sometimes it still is. If somebody in authority asks me to do something, I have this anti-authority thing in my heart. I have this nobody tells me what to do kind of thing in my heart. I know I answered my folks all the time with no, I will not do what you want me to do. Like I said, I was not a great student. I wasn't a great son. I wasn't a great brother to my siblings either. I had this anti-authority edge in my heart. Well, what is that anti-authority edge? We have a three-letter word we can use. It's called sin. It's called sin. But later, the first son changes his mind. Was it 5 minutes later? Was it an hour later? Was it a day later? We do not know. But something in him struck a chord. Might call it guilt. You might call it shame. But he decided to repent and to honor his mother and father, as the commandments say. And he went and did what he was asked to do. If I think back to those times when I've told my folks, I will not do what you want me to do. I remember it being like this when I was a kid. I would say no when my mom asked me to do something. 10 minutes later, I could feel that guilt rising up inside of me. And then I would go and do what they asked to do. And sometimes this is still me. Somebody might ask me to do something, and in my heart, I'm like, no, I don't want to. No, I don't want to. No, I don't want to. But then I will go and do it anyway. How about you? How about in your relationships? Do you say no, and then you kind of feel it, and then you turn, and then you go and do it? How about with God? Have you put God off for a long time and then kind of felt it? Like, oh, I should really go and do what I was asked by the Lord to do. Maybe you put off serving for a long time. Maybe you put off God's word for a long time. Maybe you said no to using your gifts, your spiritual gifts, for a long time. But then you have a change of heart, and you go and do it. You turn, you repent, and you do what God asks you to do. Maybe that's an experience that you've walked in. After the first son, here in verse 30, the father goes to the second son. It says, then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. You know what? Just like the other one, the first son can describe me, the second son's actions can describe me also. Saying that I'll do something, but then never actually doing it. In one ear and then right out the other. The son here, he makes a promise. He says, oh yeah, I'll go do what you ask. But he neglects it. Or maybe he had no intention on going in the first place. Maybe something more fun came up, so he decided to go do that thing instead. How about you? In your relationships? Certainly, this is the case with my wife and I. My wife will ask me to do something, and I'll say, oh yeah, I'll get that done. And she loves it when I say this, I'm sure. I'll put it on my list. There's not really a list, and it rarely gets done. Unless I actually stop and get out a piece of paper and write it down. You see, I have that anti-authority thing in me, it's pretty much an anti-love. And it's really just a self-centeredness that I have carrying around in me. I want to do things my way and not anybody else's way. How about with God? Have you made some promises with God, but then have not followed through with those? Make a promise to God, but never keep it? Maybe you've decided at one point or another that you were going to finally be devoted to prayer, but then you never were. Or maybe you were finally going to be devoted to the Word, but then you never really dived into it. Or you decided, you know what, I'm really going to be devoted to worship. I'm going to try to get to church Sunday after Sunday, but then you never do it, and it ends up just being lip service to God. This was the second son. He told the father what he wanted to hear, but he did not follow through with it. And then in verse 31, Jesus asks, which of the two did what his father wanted? Which of the two did what his father wanted? And they answered, the first. There's only one answer to the question, and the one who did what the father wanted is the one who actually does God's will. The one who actually does God's will. And I think Jesus' point here is that there's a difference between saying and doing. There's a difference between saying and doing. And the Father is more impressed with the doing than the saying. We've made some promises today. As a congregation, we made some promises. And for these families, they made some promises too. And the big question, will we follow through? Will we put our words into action? Not just honor the Lord with our lips, but that we have hearts that serve him. So, Jesus, he applies this parable directly to the elders and the chief priests. I remember he's talking to the elders and the chief priests, and the elders and the chief priests are trying to trip him up. They are trying to question his authority, and now he applies this parable right to them, and he says, I tell you the truth, elders and chief priests. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Sure, the elders and the chief priests, they've been saying the right things. They have probably even been preaching about how great the Father is. Maybe they preach about God's goodness. They preach about God's sovereignty. They preach about how great God is. And perhaps they've made promises along the way. But really, they have just been going through the motions. They have been centering on religious observance and not on faith. And now, Jesus lets them know that the outcasts are ahead of them. The so-called wicked people, they're going to be in the book of life ahead of you, elders and chief priests. And then verse 32. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Jesus here brings it back towards the beginning of his ministry. He goes back to John the Baptist, who was out in the wilderness. And John the Baptist had some things to say. He would let everybody know that there was one mightier than him that was coming. One that was so mighty that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. So because the Messiah, because the Savior is coming, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then, when Jesus showed up in John's ministry, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The outcasts, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the so-called wicked people, they had previously in their lives said no to the Father. They had been living their own way. They had been living that self-centered kind of life, like I was living before God grabbed a hold of me and turned my heart from stone to the wonderful grace of Jesus. Happened when I was about 23 years old. God grabbed a hold of these so-called wicked folks, and now they have turned from darkness to light. Now they have repented, and they have turned away from sin, and they have opened themselves up to trusting in Jesus. These so-called wicked people. And now in Jesus' ministry, they are responding to the Father's will. They're doing what the Father asked. These so-called wicked people, they have changed their hearts. And now they're following Jesus. And now they're going to work in the vineyard. And now they're reaping the fruits of repentance. And now they are sharing the good news about who Jesus is. But not the elders and the chief priests. Jesus says to them, and even after you saw this, even after you saw this incredible change in the lives of these outcasts, you did not repent and believe in what John was telling you. The elders and the chief priests, they recognized that John was from God. They recognized that John was a prophet. But the elders and the chief priests, they thought that they were good. They thought that because of their status, because of who they were, because of the things that they have said along the way, that they were good with the Father. And they would even probably have said that they trusted in the Father. But they have not been following through. If they were to follow through, they would have listened to John. They would have repented. They would have turned, and now they would have known Jesus as Lord. But they have not done that. And here they sit. Can you imagine? Here they sit. They are in the temple in Jerusalem. You have Jesus right in front of you. The Word that was made flesh. God among them. The Lamb of God, the Messiah. But they still do not repent and believe. They have promised to be faithful to God, but they reject God in Christ right in front of them. They need to turn to Him, they need to repent, and they need to believe. This whole passage lets us know that it's not enough to say, "I will." Or I do. But we must put our good intentions into effect. We need to respond to God's call. Not with just an I will, but we need to follow through. We've accepted Jesus' matchless grace. We've accepted His wonderful and awesome gracious sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We have come before Him and repented. Now we are called to follow through. We're called to turn, to follow, to go and do the work in the vineyard. And the promises that we made today, the work that we're talking about today, for the moms and dads with the baptism, that's truly teaching your child about Jesus and praying over them, teaching them how to pray, showing them the Word of God and how to go about doing that. And for us as a congregation and for family members, our I do is to support them in this, to do all that we can to lift them up so that they are prepared and ready as disciples so that they can disciple their children. This is what we made our promises for today, and we are called to do much more than just lip service. We are called to support them, to lift them up, and to help guide them into the truth. And we know where the truth is and who the truth is. His name is Jesus. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank You for guiding us up here to say some I wills and some I do's. Lord, we pray for help from Your Holy Spirit. Lord, light us up by the power of Your Holy Spirit that we are ready willing, and prepared to do what you have asked us to do. Lord, we ask for this guidance. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord, amen.